Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Not much. Day closer to Super Bowl 51 and get to see if Tom Brady can win his fifth Super Bowl in seven tries. So that's very exciting. That's pretty much dominating the sports talk even around here, as you know, everyone is excited for Super Bowl 51. It's unfortunate that the Packers will not be there, but hopefully, you know, there's always next year that they could be there. Who knows? But you know, speaking of, before we jump into the Super Bowl preview, speaking of the Packers, Lambeau Field will be hosting, Troy, Billy Joel. And I don't know how you feel about Billy Joel's music or whatnot, but the Billy Joel playing at Lambeau Field, and Lambeau's been hosting a lot of concerts lately. And I kind of want to get your thoughts right into it here. Kind of want to get your quick thoughts on Lambeau Field hosting concert, because I remember when it was Kenny Chesney or Zach Brown Band performed there last year, the field got kind of tore up a little bit. And I know some Packer fans were complaining about it, but personally, I don't have a problem with it. It's extra revenue to help build Murphyland, as I like to call it, the area where they're building up hotels and everything and restaurants. So, but first of all, how are things out in Western PA? What are your quick thoughts on concerts at Lambeau Field and Billy Joel in particular? The piano man himself.
The piano man himself. Again, I'm a little bit older, so Billy Joel, like when he actually had when he had hits, like Uptown Girl. For some reason, that song, Uptown Girl, just always is something that, to me, I remember because I grew up with it. It was kind of a hit when I was growing up. And other than that, I want, you know, as far as Lambeau Field goes, hosting concerts, I'm okay with it. Like you said, it's revenue. A lot of these stadiums today are multi-use facilities. So when you look at a multi-use facility, they build those so that they can bring in other revenue. We talked about it with the Bucks and the new stadium plan. And you look at all these big stadiums being built. If you're just going to do it for football, you're probably going to lose money. And why not have a big venue to bring in big name people? I know Billy Joel may not be considered, I think he's considered a big time name. They'll probably sell out Billy Joel, I would imagine. But if you're going to use Lambeau Field and have an occasional concert here and there, I have no problem with it. It's not like they're running concerts in and out of the stadium every 2 weeks. You know, it's not set up to host big-time concerts, you know, one weekend, then the next weekend, the weekend after, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you look at what it does for, like you said, for the economy. There's people that have to work to prepare for the concert, the restaurants in the area, the bars in the area, even the shopping centers. I mean, people may go shopping. But overall, it's great to be able to pull in bigger ticket names so that the area can have money. I don't have a problem with it. You worry about the turf, I guess, but at the end of the day, you have groundskeepers. They have a lot now is sports turf, and I know Green Bay is considered natural surface. But even the natural surface has some synthetics in it. But as far as that goes, I don't have a problem with concerts at Lambeau Field if they're sporadic, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, it definitely does. And, you know, the Packers are synthetic, but it's natural grass, but it's woven with synthetic basically to keep the field from being torn off. So that's why Lambeau is able to survive. And you know, a team like, you know, Green Bay, you know, they have a small market. They got to get creative on ways to bring money. And, you know, the Brewers, I personally think, dropped the ball when they created a stadium that they can only use it during basically the baseball season. That's the only time they can use it. Now, do they do concerts in the summertime when it's not being used for baseball? Yeah, they do. But I think they messed up quite a bit. They, you know, they really messed up by not opening it for other things to do like this time of year. You know, this time of year they could be having lots and lots of events at Miller Park right now. It's a retractable roof. It's not like they, you know, it's an open air stadium. So I get why they can't use Lambeau right now for things, but they can use Lambeau during the summertime when football is not going on. But speaking of football, you know, we're not talking, you know, Green Bay and concerts for the show, as much as that would be fun to sing Piano Man and Uptown Girl and all that stuff. We don't want to torture our listeners, or they may start a fire, and we don't want that to happen. So you like my little wordplay there, that they may start the fire? You know, I don't know if you get the reference there, but anyway. But we're talking Super Bowl 51. The New England Patriots, 14-2, taking on the Atlanta Falcons. So in this game, you have the Patriots, who a team that's been here before numerous times. Nothing really flashy about the team, Troy. Nothing really flashy. You know, obviously led by Tom Brady and LeGarrette Blount and Julian Edelman and Martellus Bennett. But nothing, they're not really flashy. And then you got the Atlanta Falcons, the sexy team, if you want to use those words. Matt Ryan, and I'm not talking Matt Ryan when I say the sexy team, but I'm talking Falcons offense. But Matt Ryan, Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman, you got Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Tyler Gabriel, a very high-scoring offense that's average, you know, leading the NFL in points scored per game. They're averaging 33 points per game, one of the top offenses we've seen in football for quite some time. They're a well-oiled machine, and they've gone over 30 points, you know, quite often. It's, you know, week 15, 41 points, week 16, 33, 17, 38. The playoffs, they put up 36 and 44. So very interesting matchup, Troy. Very interesting matchup. You got the high-powered offense, and you got a young, aggressive, up-and-coming defense in Atlanta as well. The team led by Dan Quinn. And then you got been there, done that. As I said, the team doesn't do anything flashy, but they get the job done. They do their job, they get it done, and they make things very difficult for teams, for opposing teams. So looking at this game, looking at the offensive side of the football for the Patriots and the Falcons, when you look at this game, what does the Patriots and the Falcons need to do to be successful in this game, in your eyes?
Well, I know we got a half hour, and fans don't want to listen to me talk all the time, so it's a pretty big question about what the Patriots and Falcons need to do. So I'll split it up and get your thoughts. We'll start with what the Patriots need to do offensively. People will say, and I think the Packers found this out, a lot of people look at the Falcons' numbers, Evan, and I know when the Packers-Falcons, everybody went back, pointed at that first game when they scored 32 points, and that Falcons' defense, I don't want to say it was in disarray, but it was still learning. Over the past, I guess, six games, the last four of the regular season, two in the playoffs, this Falcon defense has gotten much better. Now, the Packers don't really have a run game. I know they put Ty Montgomery in there. But the Falcons have gotten a little better against the run. The Falcons defense, a little more optimistic in creating turnovers, much better than they were in the first half of the season. Now, I wouldn't say that they're an upper echelon defense by any means, but they have gotten better. And what the Patriots need to do is they just have to – I'll say it this way. The Patriots just have to be the Patriots on offense. What that is take what the Falcons give them, and that's what Tom Brady does. That's how Tom Brady's made his living. Tom Brady's not going to jack the ball 50 yards down the field. One, he doesn't have really the deep threat to do that on a consistent basis. That's really not the Belichick way. That's not the Brady way. They're going to, if they can pound LeGarrette Blount and control the trenches and move the chains and put together, I've said this many times this year, long methodical drives and score touchdowns, the Patriots can win this game. Because the best defense against Matt Ryan, and people say that's against Aaron Rodgers and the good quarterbacks, is keep them on the sideline. Patriots are built to do that, Evan. The Patriots can take what the Falcons give them. Not only do they have LeGarrette Blount, but then they can go to James White, and they also have the ability to spread the ball around. They don't have that, you know, that Julio Jones type guy. They don't have, you know, the Jordy Nelson. But I think the biggest key for them offensively in the Super Bowl is going to be Martellus Bennett. He's no Gronkowski, but this is the guy that you're going to look at that you want to move the chains, you want to send somebody down the seam for a little bigger gain. This is the guy that you can use and utilize against the Falcons. So they have an opportunity, Evan, to move the ball probably against the Falcons. Even the Packers did it in the playoff game. I know the Falcons' defense has gotten better. The key is going to be for the Patriots' offensive line to control the trenches, open up holes for the running game, and keep Tom Brady upright. Tom Brady's not going to run a lot of bootlegs. Tom Brady's not going to use his feet a lot to try and extend plays. He's very pocket savvy. But Tom Brady will do well when he has a very solid offensive line protecting him. If the Falcons can get to him and rattle him, we'll talk about that when we talk about the Falcons' defense, then it's a different story. But, Evan, this Patriots offense is actually built to be able to do those long, methodical drives, and that could be the best defense against Matt Ryan when you're talking about the Super Bowl. So what are your thoughts about the Patriots' offense?
Well, the thing with the Patriots' offense, other than a deep threat with an outside guy, although Chris Hogan has been really taking care of that, but other than, you know, him, they don't really have an outside deep threat, but they can beat you so many ways. You got Tom Brady, extremely intelligent, extremely smart with the football, one of the most accurate quarterbacks I've ever seen throw football. And you got Julian Edelman, who is extremely dangerous in the slot. But they can also pound the ball. They can pound the ball in the middle with LeGarrette Blount. They also got Deion Lewis, who has been a pretty big X factor in the playoffs. He missed most of the year with a knee injury, but he's been a huge factor. He's a big playmaker. He can take the ball to the house every time. So the Patriots are a team that they can really pick their poison on how they want to be the line. And you talk about work on keeping Matt Ryan off the field. Yeah, they can definitely do that. They have a big running back in Blount, and they could just beat him the ball. And beat him, and long time consuming drive. So it's going to be up to the line of defense to make stops. They're going to have to get the Patriots off the field on third down. That's something Green Bay did not do against Atlanta. That's something that a line of defense is going to have to do. They got to get the Patriots off the field, and they have to not let the Patriots get those long 12 play, 14 play drives. Because that can screw up the timing of the offense, of their offense. If their offense isn't on the field getting reps, it might be a slow day at the offense for the Falcons. But, you know, Belichick's going to look to exploit something in Atlanta's, one of their weaknesses, and that's what he's going to look to do. But I do get, if Atlanta was better in the middle, like if they could get some push up the middle, I would be a little more intimidated or a little bit more worried for the Patriots in this one with their offense. But the Patriots, they can get good pressure off the edge with Freeman and Beasley, but they can't really get much pressure up the middle, and that's what you got to do to beat Tom Brady. You've got to get him off of his spot. You can't let him climb the pocket. That's what he likes to do. And you mentioned he doesn't move very well. He doesn't go left and right, really. He doesn't go left and right. He climbs the pocket. You know, that's what he does. That is what he does. And if Atlanta was able to get more of a push up the middle, they could give New England quite the fit. But I guess working in their favor, Atlanta has a very physical, aggressive defense, very fast defense. So that could give New England a little bit of fits, trying to, you know, figure that out a little bit. Inside the offense for Atlanta's got to play their game. They got to play their game. They can't be something that they're not. They're a team that loves doing crossing routes across the middle. They love getting the ball out. They love getting it out quickly, getting in their playmakers' hands, and letting their playmakers do their job. You know, guys like Julio Jones. I think Darius Gunter and Demarius Randle still having nightmares of Julio Jones's catch and run over the middle in the game 2 weeks ago against Green Bay. The Atlanta's got to play their game. You know, they can't try to be a pounded-out team. That's not who they are. They can't be a team that's trying to take shots down the field all the time because that's not who they are. They're a team that tends to control the football with their passing game. And, yes, Atlanta gets a lot of big plays, Troy, but they get a lot of those big plays because of their playmakers making guys miss and getting big games. And they're probably going to have to do some dinking and dunking a little bit against New England. New England is going to try to take away that big play. New England is they're a sound tackling team. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They like getting a little physical with you. And Belichick's really good at taking something away from you. And my guess is in this game, he's going to look to take away Julio Jones. He's going to force somebody else to beat him, like Gabriel or Mohamed Sanu or Freeman or someone like that. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup, a very interesting chess match when the Falcons had the ball. Do the Patriots have the speed on defense to keep up? That's going to be an interesting question as well. Do the Patriots have the speed to keep up with Atlanta? So, for you, flip side to Atlanta offensively, what do you got to see Atlanta doing to try to defeat this Patriots team? You know, because if they try to do trick plays, it's not going to work. New England isn't going to fall for trick plays. So, what do they got to do in your mind?
Well, they got to protect the football for one. You can't give Tom Brady extra possessions. They've got to be very effective. They can't kick field goals. They've got to score 7 points. I know this is an offense that can be very explosive. But we talked about it when we talked about, you know, who's more vital to the Patriots, Belichick or Brady. And we talked about Belichick and his ability to scheme against other teams. You mentioned taking away their best player. He's going to make somebody beat them that is not a normal guy. And what I mean by not a normal guy is a Mohamed Sanu may have to step up. I know, you know, I would imagine the game plan is to shut down Julio Jones. That means, you know, the backfield of Coleman and Freeman. They're going to have to run well. I think I had mentioned the Patriots with long, methodical drives. Well, the thing is, Atlanta can be explosive. The Packers learned that firsthand. They can go down, and Atlanta darn near scored on every possession they had. And I'm not saying they have to do that against the Patriots, but they have to limit the number of possessions they give Tom Brady, and that's being very effective. But if they get into a situation where they want to, you know, basically go out and go point for point and make it a shootout, people would say, well, that's going to benefit Atlanta. And I would tend to maybe disagree a little bit there, Evan. And this is why. Because if Tom Brady is methodically moving that team up and down the field, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 play drives, the Falcons have, you know, 5-6 play drives and they're trying to run and gun it, well, at some point it's going to wear your defense down. And then Tom Brady's really going to have his fun on offense. But I think the big key for the Falcons is to limit the number of possessions they give Tom Brady, which means keeping the ball on their side and being very effective. And they have to score touchdowns. You cannot kick field goals against New England Patriots and expect to win. So, number one, protect the football. And number two, they have to score touchdowns when they get inside the red zone and not settle for field goals. When you look at how do you attack this Patriot defense, if you look at this Patriot defense on paper, Evan, you're like, how is this defense very good? But they just don't allow a lot of points. They are a defense that is very hard to score points on. And you can ask the Pittsburgh Steelers that. I know Le'Veon Bell went out of the game with an injury, and that was probably for Bill Belichick. Like, oh, well, I was going to take Antonio Brown out of the game, and now Le'Veon Bell is out of the game, so I don't have to worry about that one. So my defense is really going to work. But for some reason, Evan, I know that people will argue the schedule the Patriots had against offenses like the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. That's four games right there. Their scoring defense should be low. In either case, they've also shut down better teams on offense. And when you look at it, there's no one guy you can point to and say, well, we've got to scheme and we've got to work away from so-and-so. They play really good fundamental defense as a team, and they play within the scheme. And they're going to try to confuse Matt Ryan, so he has to be very smart and protect the football. And it goes kind of goes back to what I was saying about Tom Brady, taking what the Falcons defense gives him. That's what you have to do against the Patriots. Figure out what Belichick is doing as far as who's he going to shut down. So if we want to say it's Julio Jones, which in all reality that's what it's going to be, well, then how do you get Sanu involved? How do you get Gabriel involved? How do you utilize Coleman and Freeman? And so I think from that standpoint, you're going to have to make that adjustment when you kind of realize, what kind of scheme is Belichick playing today? What is he going to give me? And then take what he gives you to go down the field and then figure out how to score touchdowns in the red zone. That's what I think the Falcons have to do, Evan.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you know that, right? They got to protect the football. If Matt Ryan throws an interception, they lose. They're going to lose if Matt Ryan throws an interception. So, looking at the time, you know, I kind of hinted a little bit what defenses need to do on both sides. You know, I look at it. To me, this is a tough matchup. You got, you know, the Falcons' defense, which hasn't been very good until really as of late. You got the Patriots that are just a well-rounded team overall. But I look back at that Super Bowl a couple years back when the Seahawks made it and took on the Denver Broncos, and the speed of the Seahawks is just too much for Peyton Manning and company. However, the Broncos that year didn't really have much of a running game, so they could just pretty much tee off on Manning, and the Broncos made mistakes after mistakes. I think there was a high snap out of nowhere. So I don't see the Patriots making those mistakes, and I think that's what it's going to come down to. To me, it looks like the Falcons are happy just to celebrating. They're happy, go lucky, you know, happy just to be there. And the Patriots, they're going in as pretty much just being just another game. You know, this is just another game to them. You know, this is nothing new to them. They're used to being here. They're not just happy to be here. They're used to being here. And I think that's where we're going to see the Patriots get the win. I think it's going to be both teams are going to probably score in the 20s, but I think the Patriots end up pulling out the win. I think the stage would be too big for the Falcons. And, yeah, I think Tom Brady wins his this Super Bowl and gets another Super Bowl MVP in his pocket. So what about you? What are your predictions and what are your thoughts on this game?
Well, you look at these teams offensively, Evan, and I think you know, you're going to see some scoring. What it's going to come down to also, in my mind, is going to be that one special teams play. Is it going to be changing field position and then defensively somebody getting a big stop? Is it going to be a kick or a punt return to give some momentum and field position to a team? I think you're going to see a play like that. I don't think you're going to see, and now that I'm saying this, it probably will be a blowout. But I don't think you're going to see a blowout. This is two very good teams matched up against each other. But I think it's going to come down to what I was saying and what you said about Matt Ryan. Can the Falcons protect the football? And I think Matt Ryan, I know he's been very effective. I know people talk, you know, MVP-wise. And I think that the Patriots come up with a turnover, and a big turnover, and take control of the game. So I think the Patriots are going to edge one out. I think Tom Brady gets another Super Bowl. And I think everybody then, you know, looks at it and once again says, is it Belichick or Brady? And I think they're joined at the hip. They need each other to do what they've been doing. So I think the Patriots edge this one out, Evan. I think they get that pivotal turnover. Matt Ryan's going to make a mistake against this Bill Belichick scheme defense, and it's going to cost them the game.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that. As I said, I think the stage might be a little too big for the Falcons. I think it's going to be too big for them. So, you know, with that, you know, Troy, I don't know, you know, the ESPN, you know, just a last comment here. They had a 30 for 30 special on today, which I'm very excited to watch. I didn't get a chance to watch it live. I like the ESPN 30 for 30s. I don't watch ESPN overall that much anymore, but I love the 30 for 30. And today it was on the XFL, talking about the XFL. And I remember the XFL. Wasn't very good football, but it was kind of entertaining to watch a little bit, especially, you know, you had such fun guys such as Rob Smart or He Hate Me. And then Tommy Maddox was able to basically resurrect his football career, and he made a few years starting for the Steelers out of his stint in the XFL up until the time Ben Roethlisberger ousted him for the starting job. And then you also had the Los Angeles. They say Los Angeles hasn't won a championship in football for quite some time. Well, no, the Los Angeles franchise of the XFL won a championship in the XFL's one and only year. So do you have anything you remember at all about the XFL? Like, you know, they had the fight, you know, like they lay the ball down and guys have to get up and run after it. That's how they determined who got the first possession of the game. Then you have the nicknames on the back of the jerseys, things like that. What do you remember most of the XFL? Was it the crappy football, or was it some of the other stuff that they did that trying to make it fun?
Well, they tried to make it fun for sure, but it wasn't the best of football. It's always hard. I mean, you look at it. I don't think anybody will ever compete with the NFL. My biggest memory of that league was the nicknames on the back of the jersey. I don't remember watching too many games in the XFL, Evan. You know, it's a commodity, so, you know, the first couple games, people tune into it, and then after that it's like, yeah, okay. At the end of the day, this is supposed to be entertainment, but you want to see some good football at times, and it just wasn't the NFL product. So I didn't watch much of the XFL, but most of it was the nicknames on the back of the jersey that I remembered. But, you know, nobody's ever going to compete with the NFL. The NFL is such a commodity that, you look at it, they do have a monopoly. I mean, you could try to start another league, but you're never going to compete with the NFL.
Yeah, and we have had other leagues show up recently, but they're not trying to compete, and they have a hard time surviving. So, you know, with that, I'll throw it back to you to wrap things up and let our listeners go.
Yeah, another great show. So I hope everybody enjoys the Super Bowl. Evan and I will get back with you on Monday night, our last game episode, Evan. Last time we talked about an actual NFL game for, probably 6 months. But we're going to recap the Super Bowl on Monday night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. We definitely will talk a lot of NFL football, though, between now and next season, because you have the combine, you have the draft, you have all the off-season stuff going on. But hope you enjoy your weekend. Hope you enjoy the show tonight. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelt. Put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you Monday night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Enjoy your weekend, everyone.